go. Okay, the Conference Committee for Economic Development and Agriculture for May 6, 2013 will come to order.
Economic Development?
Did I say Economic Development? Okay, let's go back. The the Conference Committee for Environment and Agriculture will come to order. Oh, it's really bad when you say things that you don't mean to say.
Columbo?
Huh? I do that all the time.
He turned his name tag there.
No, that's why they have him set like that, so you can see him in two directions. So, Representative Nelson, do you? No. Mr. Knopf, do you remember where we were?
Mr. Chair, yes, we are on pages 40 and 41.
Of Article?
We had just talked about.
Which article?
Four.
Oh, I'm sorry, Article 4.
Okay, go ahead.
And we just talked about the top of page R40 in the middle. This was Representative McGinnis had mentioned before they were changing some of the who was required to put to install the monitoring wells, and that's the House's language that's tied with the fee increases and changing who's responsible for the this puts more of the burden on the DNR for the monitoring unless somebody is a primary source of the water resource impacts for the well. And then on page R41, you have some new language on the House side. I think in paragraph C, where it ties it in with the Department of Health well regulation, and in fact, if you see on page, starting on 111.17, if the appropriation request is likely to meet applicable requirements, the commissioner shall provide the person submitting the information with a letter providing preliminary approval to construct the well. So there's more coordination with the Department of Health over the over the permit for a well that is going to will be required to have a DNR permit. Section 80, that's the groundwater management areas, and the changes on page R42. You can see what the House is doing in a groundwater management area. If these are designated, you know, currently you only need a permit from DNR if you're over 10,000 gallons per day or 1 million gallons per year. And what this would do is in these groundwater management areas, it would allow the commissioner to require permits for smaller users than that. It could be for individuals or whatever. If they're in a groundwater management area, it would allow them to go, but not less. You see, serving water supply is serving less than 25 persons for domestic purposes. So it would allow for a requirement for groundwater appropriation permits from DNR for smaller appropriations. Section 81 is just on the House side, is just a change in the head note there on the sustainability standard for groundwater appropriations. Section 82, these are the aquatic plant management fees. In other words, fees for destroying plants in public waters if you're trying to clean your beach out or your shoreline frontage. And I think you saw on the spreadsheet, this does increase the amount of money that's collected by DNR for these permits. And you can see that on line 122.18, they're talking about a $35 permit, and then and that's for each contiguous parcel, and then $40 for controlling snails. That's on clause 2 on 112.23, and then offshore control of submerged aquatic plants, $90 on clause 3, controlling plankton, that's $90. Commercial mechanical control permit, $100 annually. And then commercial harvest permit, $100 plus $300 for each public water listed. And then on, they're clarifying that there's no permit fee for to transplant aquatic plants or remove a floating bog or for invasive aquatic plant management permits. And then there's some other kind of technical language related to the fee. And I thought I remembered that there was, you should look on. I go back up to 112.20 to 112.22. Currently, you don't need you don't pay a fee for purple loosestrife control or lakewide Eurasian water milfoil. The House expands that it's for baywide invasive species, invasive aquatic plant management permit. So it goes beyond just Eurasian water milfoil. If you're doing a lakewide or baywide invasive aquatic plant management permit, there would be no fee. And then, Mr. Chair and members, On the bottom of page R43, that's section 83 on the health side. This is the part that's in the Department of Health in the well permit that you get through the Department of Health. And it's basically the language. I think what's important is on page R44, paragraph F. It says when the Commissioner DNR needs to permit it, then they have to go through these steps before they can get the well permit. So if it's current law, it'd be over 10,000 gallons per day or over 1 million gallons per year. They would have to go through these steps. But again, in those groundwater management areas, it could be a lesser amount if the house, if all the provisions of the house plan were in law. Section 84.
Nelson.
Oh. Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
And this might be something when we get into dealing with this, we had a lot of testimony about the different agencies having responsibility, the Department of Health having responsibility, and the well getting drilled, and then it may be months or even a year before the appropriation permit, and just that whole process of coordination to make sure that if a well is getting drilled, that the permit is there, and then what the responsibility is with the permit. Because we had testimony in the House where they'd send letter after letter after letter, you need to get the appropriation permit, and it never happened. So this, I think, is one of those things when we dive into that discussion, maybe if we can have the agencies, and it would be good to have Health and DNR here and maybe even Bowser together to talk about their coordination.
Mr. Westrom.
Mr. Chair, while we're paused here, Mr. Knopf, the permit fees, if I understood it right, is that language expanded, so if it's an AIS vegetation or aquatic invasive species you're trying to get rid of, we're just saying you don't need a permit to get to dispose or try to remedy that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, Senator Westrom, excuse me, it says that you don't need to pay a permit fee. You still need a permit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But no fee is required. I'm sorry. I hope it wasn't clear on that.
Okay. Very good.
And Mr. Chair and members, bottom of page R44, that's an exploratory boring inspection fee you saw on the spreadsheet Mr. Mueller presented. Mr. Chair, section 85, we talked about that one already. Now we're going to get into a number of PCA things, and Ms. Taylor went through those when we talked about PCA, so I'm going to jump all the way forward to page R77, because I think we did all of the silica sand provisions when we did the PCA, so I won't go into any of the silica. And we did the groundwater environmental assessment worksheet, I think, too, when Ms. Taylor was running through it. So I think you can start on page R77, section 105 on the House side. Again, this is something we saw on the spreadsheet. It's increasing the annual fee. If you have the critical habitat license plates, from $30 to $40, page R77, and then we can go on from there. Section 80 on the Senate side, this has to do with the school forest provisions. We saw the part in the DNR sections earlier, allowing for transfer of tax forfeited land to a school for a school forest. And with this is in the tax forfeited statutes. And the important language is on page R80, starting on 70.34, where it talks about the taxing districts, tax forfeited land may be conveyed for that purpose. And it talks about how that's to happen. And you can see on 71.3, no monetary compensation or consideration is required, but there is a reversionary interest that the state would hold if these lands were transferred to a school for a school forest. And you can see on the next section, section 81, the important thing here is that under current law, if you get for a public use, if a local unit of government gets a use deed, after 30 years, the use deed goes away, and it becomes the sole possession of the local unit of government. In this situation, this reversionary interest would run with the land in perpetuity. You can see that on 72.24, notwithstanding those sections, it's subject to a perpetual conditional use deed and reverter. So it would revert back to the state if it was discontinued to be used as a school forest in the future, in any time in the future. It wouldn't have the 30-year provision for other public uses.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just because I don't recall, or I don't know as much about this, but if there's tax forfeited land that was, you know, should be going to the school trust or to help potentially pay for that director, how does that work with the fact that there's no monetary compensation or consideration that's required?
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, this is not school trust land. This is tax forfeited land held in trust for the local taxing districts, but not for the school trust fund.
Okay. And thank you for the clarification. I know that sometimes those parcels get quite intermingled. Yeah. And we don't always know exactly which ones are
sure.
school trust versus which ones aren't. And so, I mean, is there some clarification there or
Mr.
not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, these are not school trust lands. This would only apply to tax forfeited lands. And those are the ones that are forfeited to local units of government for tax purposes. And Commissioner of Revenue holds title to them in trust for the local taxing districts. And so it's only for those local taxing districts that the concern is the lost revenue to those debt local tax, not through the school trust fund, but through their normal taxing authority.
Okay. And then so when we reacquire those lands, how do you divvy out leases? Or, I mean, if you want to make them or turn them back into productive forest lands, what do they get classified in? They just become normal state forest land then?
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, no, they're actually taxed. They remain in tax forfeited lands. When lands forfeit for tax purposes, the state buys them or bids on them when they're forfeited or when at the sale, if they're not sold to anybody else, and then the state holds that title in trust for the county, for the school district, and for the town or city, which is usually a town, a township or whatever, and. The county manages those lands, and there are a number of county forests, especially you'll see them in northern Minnesota, that are managed, and the revenue from those lands goes, it's split between the county, the school district, and the township that it's in. But the trust status is just the state holding title and trust for those districts. And if they're sold to another party, then the revenue from that gets distributed to those local taxing districts.
So ultimately, why is the state involved? I mean, if it's, you know, only benefiting the local units of government, why not just allow them to go and conduct the sales and, you know, to kind of be the primary participant in the transaction?
Well, Mr. Chair, we do, but we control it because it is still considered state land. The Commissioner of Revenue holds the title and trust for those taxing districts. And since one local unit of government is managing it, and there are other local units of government concerned that the state, I mean, this is before my time. The state has been doing this for a long time, basically with the tax forfeited land management statutes. The county actually manages the land, but there is some control by DNR. They have to sign off on a lot of things that happen to that land when it's sold or whatever, or when it's when they're cutting forest on it, that sort of thing. There is some control by the state legislature and by the Commissioner of Natural Resources over that.
Seems complicated.
It is.
And I'm happy to hear that. That's what I thought too.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, is very complicated. In fact, you'll see the next section in here adds a little more complexity. Currently, the state can have regular auction sales of trees, or basically of stumpage on state forest lands. But there's also an allowance for these intermediate auction sales for under 3,000 cords in volume. But there's limitations on who can bid on those and how many they can bid on and the percentage that they can have. And what Section 82 does is it allows the counties to sell these intermediate timber sales with the restrictions on who can bid on no more than 30 employees and can't be awarded more than 25% of the total tracts. So those are that basically gives the county similar authority as what the state has in managing timber on those lands as far as intermediate timber sales. I won't go into detail. It's basically very similar to what you find in the statute in Chapter 90 for the DNR. Section 83 is the discontinuance of the Hennepin County Soil and Water Conservation District and transfer of duties. What this does is allows the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners to petition Bowser for the discontinuance. They have some timelines. They have 60 days from the receipt of the petition, and Bowser, if they receive the petition from the county board, can act on it, or shall act on it, actually. In fact, if you look on 74.11, if Bowser determines that progress toward the goals identified for a soil, water, and conservation district can be achieved by the discontinuance of the district, transfer district duties authorities to Hennepin County Board of Commissioners, Bowser shall order the discontinuance of the Hennepin County Soil and Water Conservation District. So that's kind of the important language in there. Once they've made that determination, then it says that they shall discontinue it and transfer it to, and the rest of it is all dealing with transferring to the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners. And then you'll see on the, there's a local approval on the top of page 85 that states that Hennepin County has to approve of the law for it to take effect. We talked about Section 84 on the Senate side and 8106 in the House.
Mr. Knopf, just to that point, do we have to pass it in the state law in order for it to take effect if Hennepin County has to approve it before it takes effect?
Mr. Chair, yes. It's because the current law there's a current law for dissolution of a soil and water conservation district, and what this is be a special law for Hennepin County. And that's why you see the local approval provision, because it'd be a special law for Hennepin County, allowing them to use a different process than is allowed under the current law. And then, Mr. Chair, I'll go to 85. This is allowing, it basically exempts the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board from DNR rules relating to fill in public waters to recreate Halls Island or similar island. And then you'll see that also there's that effective date on the bottom.
So when you, thank you, Mr. Chair, when you are on line 7531, notwithstanding rule, et cetera, that is just fill in public waters, or is that more than that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Guinness, it's been a little while since I've looked at this, but I thought I remembered that that's what those sections of rule deal with, is fill in public waters.
Are there, if I could, Mr. Chair, are there criteria if you are saying notwithstanding those rules, are there criteria that the park board would have to follow?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Guinness, and I can look up the rule on my pad here and get back to you later on this, but as I understand it, what these rules do is they've got they're generally prohibited, and there's certain limited instances when they allow fill in public waters for certain types of things. And what this does, and apparently this island doesn't fit within those allowances. And what this does is say that notwithstanding those, you can go ahead and do this. We're kind of making a special case that this is an allowance under those rules.
Representative Wagenius, you're not going to believe this, but I actually looked this rule up, and there's about 8 or 9 different things that are prohibited under this rule, so it's pretty interesting. Representative Hansen.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and Mr. Knopf. It looks like the Section 85 there provides an exemption to the rule for a specific project, but then on page R89, it looks like the rules are repealed completely. Is that correct? Or?
That would be correct. That actually happened on the Senate floor.
So there's an exception, but if the Senate position prevails, we would provide an exception to a rule that doesn't exist.
You build islands anywhere you want.
Or mountains.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I think the first part of Section 85 you'd want to eliminate if you did the full repealer, but yes. And then, because you do see, there is some later language in that section 85, the commissioner shall grant any authorizations, permits, or permissions necessary to effectuate the project, provided that the project is consistent with all other standards and guidelines in Minnesota rules. So it does go a little beyond those. It basically tells the commissioner to approve it.
Apparently, the sentiment of the Senate floor was if it was good enough for Minneapolis, then it was good enough for the rest of the state. That's what I think. I think that's what happened there. So, Representative McGinn.
This is fascinating. The Senate is fascinating. So does that mean that the sediment that's coming into, say, Lake Pepin, DNR no longer has, because it's filling a lake, that DNR no longer has any control over that?
Mr. Chair, Representative McGinnis, no. It has to do with intentionally putting
that's intentional.
Fill in. I mean, sediment, my understanding is sediment is not necessarily intentionally. It's what's flowing off the land. This is actually bringing out heavy equipment and putting fill into the public water.
Good smile about this one.
It's interesting. So there is nothing in law that says what you think that we could be doing. Well, more than we think we're doing here.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, Representative McGinney, it talks about a permit to put fill in, that if somebody is putting fill in to a public water, and there's, again, as Senator Tomasoni said, there's a whole list of items that are allowed to do this, and this would make this special exception to allowed to do the same thing as some of the other ones that are on that list.
Over.
Creative.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, on Section 107 on the House side, you've got some changes to the funding for the school trust lands director. The law from last session said that it would be from the state forest development account. That's a suspense account. And from the minerals management account, this would just say it comes from the minerals management account, that's where you're going to pay for the directors for minerals management, not from the state forest development account. And then, Mr. Chair, members, the North Mississippi Regional Park Addition, both sides have that. There are some just real technical differences between them, but both sides have the change in the boundary for the North Mississippi Regional Park within Minneapolis to include the lands in what was now called Weber Park. The House had, no, we did the wastewater treatment beneficial use, if I remember right, the other day. So we won't talk about that. Section 110 and 87 on the Senate, that's dealing with those balsam fir permits, and if I remember right, both sides are the same. The House has a Section 111 groundwater sustainability recommendations. Basically, it tells the commissioner to develop recommendations for additional tools needed for groundwater sustainability requirements in law by January 15th of next year. There's some rulemaking authority in the possession. This is for the wildlife rehabilitators. There's just some slight technical differences in the language for the rulemaking. The paddleboard license, as far as I can tell, is the same. And then the House has a provision that starts on the bottom, page 87, section 114, on rulemaking for industrial minerals and non-ferrous mineral leases to conform with changes that are in the article. The House also, in section 115, has a provision dealing with changes to existing rules to match with the changes made in the mining statutes on the House side, mostly dealing with fees. And we talked about the silica sand rulemaking and the fugitive emissions rulemaking. And then on the bottom of page R89, you'll see the House repeals a provision related to, it's on 149.25. There's a repealer on some standards for review of groundwater uses or groundwater consumptive uses or diversions over 2 million gallons per day, if I remember the standard right. And that's being repealed. on the House side. On the Senate side, as Representative Hansen mentioned, the Senate repeals the rules that were stood in the earlier section in the public water rules of the DNR. And then on the very bottom of page R89, you can see that the Senate repeals the forest nursery provisions from 2011. The statute was not altered in 2011, but there were additional restrictions put on forest tree nurseries, and this would repeal those additional restrictions and bring it back to the statutory restrictions and conditions that are in our current law. And so that's repealed in here. Again, that was a fairly contentious issue in 2011, and I think still will be this year, but that's that last repealer.
Okay. Do we have anything else that we need to go through as far as side-by-sides are concerned?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we've gone through all the side-by-side language.
Okay. So if you would like to just move the Senate position, we can get out of here. What do we do next now?
We agree and planning on doing that tomorrow? Well, then maybe we should be asking.
Do we need to hear from anybody? Does anybody need to tell us what they think?
Yeah, it would be good to hear from
people. Because if you all don't jump up at once, then we will think we love something or other in this. What's the committee? Do you guys feel confused about anything here that we should hear from some? We wrote down some things on a piece of paper over here before and have a couple of things we want to get some clarification on. So are they things that should be clarified by agency people, or what do we got at the top of the list so far?
All right, why don't we do that? There was Bowser had lines 69.9, performance review. We can ask them about.
Is Bowser here? Do you know the answer? Or?
Is this on Article 4? Let's get the site right here first. Article 3.
Page R32 and 33. 69.9.
What article are you in?
Article 3, right? You got page R32, line 69.9.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think this was a question that Senator Sparks had relating to the approach of dividing out the cost share into different segments that it was done prior to the current biennium or to do a one appropriation. I think that's what that was the question.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sarah Stroman. I'm an assistant director with the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And so my understanding is you would just like for us to address the differences in the approach to the cost share program between the House version and the Senate version. As Representative Hansen noted, prior to this last biennium, the approach was to have allocated line items in the cost share program, so we can implement the program with either approach. What it means is a shift in the way we're currently approaching the cost share program, because in the last biennium those line items did not exist. So what I can tell you is for the feedlot water quality grants, which is the item beginning on line 69.12, that item we would likely add to our competitive grant program. We have been funding these feedlot water quality grants, particularly through the clean water funding that we receive it as well. So we would add the general fund to that competitive grant program. At this level of funding of the $302,000 each year, we estimate we could fund approximately 5 to 6 projects each year based on the level of funding we've been providing this current biennium.
And how much do you get through clean water?
Through clean water, for the last 4 years, we've allocated approximately $2 million to the feedlot water quality grant program.
So 2.3 with this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
However, Mr. Chairman, I will add that depending on how our legacy funding turns out this year, because the House bill has some changes to the Bowser grant structure.
Is it more or less than $2 million?
It's less this year, Mr.
What's
Chairman.
What's the Senate?
Mr. Chairman, we have not seen a Senate legacy bill.
What did you recommend to the Senate?
In the governor's recommendation, I don't believe I have my legacy stuff. I'll have to look at that for you to see specifically if there was a feedlot line item in there.
Okay.
I don't think it's allocated specifically to feedlots. It's allocated to water quality grants, and then
maybe you said this and I missed it already. But is $302,000? Is that how much you gave last year out of the general fund money that's appropriate here?
This is the same amount that was appropriated for feedlot water quality grants in the prior biennium.
And are these these line items that we're talking about, are they the same numbers that were appropriated last year?
In the prior biennium, these line items did not exist in the last biennium. But in the one before that, yes, these are approximately the same dollar amounts.
So is this how much you gave the last year, even though they weren't line items? It sounds like you had discretion last year to give them much.
I do not believe we used general fund for feedlot grants last year.
How about on line 69.16?
69.16, these grants are more our general cost share grants. So this would be similar, we would, to what we've done the last year, although the amount is slightly less than what we had this current biennium for general cost share grants. So what that might mean is fewer technical assistance grants to the local units of government, which may affect project development in the future, but this is similar to what we have now, the general pot.
Okay. Maybe what I should find out is, so how much did you have last? The House has $1.6 million, the Senate has $1.56 million. How does that compare to last year?
Mr. Chairman, the Senate amount, the 1.56 each year, is the base. What the House did was increase it by the amount that they removed from funding the Minnesota River Board and the amount that they decreased the appropriation to the Area 2.
Area 2, that sounds like some aliens or something. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, and part of the reason we wanted to go with the line items is with the legacy dollars, we don't want to be dealing with substitution. And so the amount of money, and I think the testifier indicated that in the current biennium, if I heard this right, there were not any feedlot water quality grants, but there were legacy fund grants. When we were in charge previously in the biennium before that, we made sure that we had general fund that was existing grants that would go towards these components, so there wouldn't be a substitution of legacy dollars for things that had previously been provided. You have the transparency here of seeing how much money is there for these components of cost share. In the biennium that we're in, and remember that was finalized during the special session and the shutdown, there was just a general allocation without the definition of feedlot or cost share. The testifier just mentioned about technical assistance being cut back in the LCCMR bill, which we just passed and I think maybe is on the schedule for the Senate. We provide $3 million of technical assistance money for implementation of cost share and other types of things. So as I mentioned last time we met, we have a lot of different pots of money that we use for different things, but trying to make sure that we are not, that we're staying true to the Constitution and not having substitution by breaking out this cost share.
Senator Metzen actually likes this method of doing it.
Mr. Chair,
the
LCCMR just passed off the floor.
It did.
About 15 minutes ago.
And did it have cost share?
I don't know. I didn't analyze it completely.
The numbers are, you know, we're $40,000 apart, so, or, well, maybe a little more than that, but $100,000. So that's a matter of how we, what's the best way to spend it. And I've talked about in historically that I usually like to have us kind of decide where the money goes instead of, you know, you guys must have thought this really well out. I mean, I'm sure you know. So that's my general statement. I'm not clear which is the best.
We like the idea. The numbers are just a little bit different, so we've got to figure that out. So,
well, Mr. Chair, I can the numbers. I think somebody inkled that before. If you look on the Senate side on 22.3, on R33, you'll see the $42,000 for the Minnesota River Board. That's not included, so that's added to the first year on the House side.
Where was this now?
Mr. Chair, R33, 22.3, the Minnesota River Board.
$42,000. Okay.
That $42,000 then is added in both years of the House side to the first and second. And then on same page, if you look at the bottom of page R33, you see the House does $120,000 the first year and $60,000 the second year for Area 2. We do the full $120,000 each year. They take the $60,000 in the second year and add that to the second year of the cost share.
Mr. Chair? Maybe if Ms. Stroman could describe what's been going on with the Minnesota River Board and their processes to try to determine their purpose.
Sure, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen. The Minnesota River Board recently hired a consultant to lead them through a process to, as Representative Hansen said, determine their purpose and try to help make some recommendations about a path forward and an effective structure. The consultant just recently submitted the report to the Minnesota River Board. The general conclusion was there still is a need for the Minnesota River Board. There is a purpose. And really the report laid out some recommendations, some very specific recommendations that the board should address over the next year to 18 months. So I think the board is considering that report and considering how it wants to address the recommendations in the report. And that's where they're at as of today.
Representative Bouguinas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The way I read that, it was the recommendations were only how to structure the board. It wasn't what they would get done. It was just a restructuring. So we haven't moved beyond. So they don't have a structure at this point and don't really have any set of accomplishments that they're going to have with this structure. It's just a preliminary, a recommended structure. Am I getting that correctly?
Representative Bouguinas, Mr. Chair, Representative Bouguinas. Yeah, I think the recommendations were specific to structure and how they could address purpose going forward. So it's maybe a preamble to the outcomes that you're looking for, but it was a structure that would and a process for how to answer those questions.
So, Mr. Knopf, if I'm understanding these two pages, right, we're basically on the same page. We just put the numbers in different places.
Mr. Chair,
and they're for the same. You know, I mean, the only difference is the 69.16 to 69.26, but the amount of money is the same. It's just a matter of the House.
Mr. Chair, it depends, though, if you don't do the Minnesota River Board and you cut Area 2 in half in the second year. I mean, that's what the House does. The Senate did not do that. So except for that, if you subtract that out from the House's top number, you would be at the same place. I mean, as far as the money, they put in additional money that instead of funding the Minnesota River Board and half of the second year of Area 2. Otherwise, yes.
Okay. So that's going to be an easy one to solve then.
You mean we have to, Mr. Chairman, we have to cave on this one?
I don't know if we have to cave. I think we just got to move things around so that we feel like we all won.
Oh, we're so early in the game, we're already losing.
No, we're not. We're so early. I'm losing yet.
What's good for Minnesota?
We're probably going to let them have a little bit here while we get a little bit over here. Okay, Representative Wiki.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that I'm looking at above, and one of the issues with all of this is showing Minnesotans what has been accomplished with the money. And that's one of the things that we need to concentrate on. So I look on lines 69, 7, 8 in the House, and 112 in the Senate, and our language is almost the same, but there, in neither case, do the even though they're getting grants and they're getting real money, there's nothing about accomplishments that they're making. Would you think that adding the word accomplishments so that Minnesotans could actually see what they're getting for their dollar would be a good idea?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, so what you're talking about are the lines that refer to the districts publishing that on their website. I can't imagine that being too much of a problem. They do report accomplishments to the board for all of the projects. We assemble that on our website. So that is information that we are collecting and assembling.
Like to have that word put in there, we can put that in there. If you'd like to have that word put in there, we can put that in there.
Okay, well, we only do things by consensus at this point, so that's just one of those things.
For everybody who's listening, we're getting really close on two pages of the budget so far. Not laughing, if you noticed.
I'll laugh.
Okay.
If you want me to
all right.
Laugh. We can laugh.
Okay, what do you want to do next?
Well, there's some other things in here that are different, too.
Mr. Chairman, quick question just while we're on the the Minnesota River Board. I can't remember how many local units of government participate in that. Could the testifier remind us and what the local government match has been?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Falk, I apologize. I don't have that information with me. I can get you that information, however, for tomorrow. I apologize. We were planning on being up tomorrow morning. So.
Sure. And maybe just while on the subject, too, just I'm assuming you'd bring it anyway, but just for the area, too, as well, just to know how many local participants there are and what the local dollars have been, that would be useful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
But remind me what Area 2 is.
Mr. Chairman, it's a joint powers board that operates in part of the Minnesota River Basin to work on flood issues and water issues.
Okay.
I thought Pool 2 was Mississippi. Are you right? I just thought I learned that the other day, but go ahead.
They say Minnesota here in the... Okay.
What Pool 2? Oh, that's different.
Oh, okay. See? So you were right.
I'm learning, yeah. Pool 2.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, when you visit with us tomorrow, I don't believe that this Joint Powers Board has taxing authority, the same as a watershed would have. And if I'm right about that, it would be helpful to know then where they get dollars for any match, and why wouldn't we want them to have, if it wasn't a watershed, something comparable that had taxing authority so that they participated as well as asking the state to participate.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Wagenius, we do have information on that, and I can bring that as to the dollar amounts that have been put in locally. You are correct. That entity itself does not have taxing authority. They use the taxing authority of the counties, the local units of government that do have taxing authority.
And there would be, like, how many local units of government would have to agree to tax to get to money?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, they... the tax structure is based on the amount of area that is within each taxing jurisdiction and the valuation in that area. So there's a formula that each of the taxing jurisdictions contributes.
I think my question was, and maybe I wasn't clear, how many authorities are we talking about here? One, three, ten?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking about Area 2 or the Minn River Board, but we'll bring that list tomorrow. We do have that outline from the Minnesota River Board, and we're actually making copies of it to distribute to the committee, but we intended to distribute it in the morning, not today, so I apologize.
That is absolutely
I don't have
fine.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
you. That's absolutely fine.
So is there any reason for us to not approve the SAMEs that are policy money-related?
I don't know whether we have questions about any of them or not. I haven't asked the members. Have you asked yours?
No.
No. Let's ask them. And maybe that's a good question for
Senator Westrom.
Well, Mr. Chair, I know last week, there were just a list, but maybe we're not at a point that we're kind of just some areas we wanted to dive into a little more. I know.
We got a list of same or similar on the ag. I don't know if we got it on the environment. Do we have it on the environment somewhere, too? Yeah. Is there?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, you have it. It's interspersed on the environment side rather than broken out separately, but you can find them fairly easily on the comparison column on the environment side. You'll see the second item listed is the Same American with Disabilities Act compliance, and you'll also see on the Arrowhead Regional Trails State Park Reservation System, and you've got state park reservation system fees, duplicate cross-country ski pass. And you also have a number of similar items on each that if you wanted to go over what the differences are and then adopt those too, we could.
We've got like five pages of this environment. Not sure I'm comfortable with similars yet.
No, I'm not.
But is it easy to tell which one of the SAMEs are not are just policy related and not money related?
We can figure that out. We can do it as we go along here. That shouldn't be a problem.
As we go along, that makes it easier.
Sure.
Should we start? Should we do them one at a time, or should we just do all the SAMEs in one big?
Mr. Chair, it might be just a good idea to just state which ones we're talking about to make sure that we're all to make sure that they're not affecting the budget, because in case they are the same affecting the. Did you want to start with the ag one, or did you want to start with the environment?
Well, I think the easiest one to start with would be
we could do the sanitary district.
Yeah, the sanitary district would be easy to do.
But I hesitate because we don't have a target, and we may have to.
Maybe we should. You're passing these things, so we kind of push the target setting.
Sure. if you thought that would get us a lot more money.
Well, that's why I'm thinking we do the same as that are not money related. And I don't think the sanitary district isn't money related, is it?
Mr. Chair, it's not general fund. There's a little bit of environmental fund that's being transferred from the fees,
but
it's not. There's no general fund involved in it at all.
Are you? And there are like a couple words that are different, right?
Chair, there's one paragraph, if I remember right, and then there was a one-word difference on one part. If you look on page, you get out Article 5, and you look on page R4, the Senate has an additional subdivision. It's actually, yeah, it would be coded up above, but it's shown below here. Data from state agencies. And it says the administrative law judge may request boundary-related information that is otherwise classified as public data from any state department or agency. This department or agency shall promptly furnish the requested information. It was thought that when the ALJ is going through this process, that we want the agencies to respond promptly to furnish the requested information. That's one difference on the two sides. The other one is a word difference, and I think the Senate, we fixed that up. On page R10, on 159.4, the House refers to a sanitary administratively feasible, and the Senate talks about an annexation. And if you look at the section on the top, the head note, on both of them, this is dealing with a sanitary district annexation. And so this was actually caught by the revisor's office. An annexation is administratively feasible, I think, is the right way to say it on the Senate side, rather than a sanitary, because you're not forming when you're annexing property to it.
So do you have any problem with either of those Senate changes? Anybody have?
Members, do you have any problems? I don't have any problems.
Senator Falk?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know just having had a hearing on annexation issues, it can often be somewhat contentious. And I don't know if anybody wants to just speak to that, but I know it's kind of a typical fight between you've got some of our rural cities and our townships, and sometimes they feel just a little bit nervous about what would allow an annexation to proceed. If they have some clarification.
I don't think this is new language. We're just recodifying.
Mr. Chair, right? I was going to point out this is just a recodification of current law.
Okay.
Not straight. I don't want to leave you to the to be thinking that it's. I mean, there were some changes made. Otherwise, we could have done this by revisor instruction. But because of the ALJ's involvement, there are some word changes here. But there was under current law. If you had the repealers in front of you, you would have seen provisions for annexation of property in a sanitary district. It's just that, again, this one, on 159.4 in the House side, when the Senate bill was being put together, talking to the revisor of the statutes, she thought that sanitary district was not the proper word there, and it should have been an annexation because that's what we're talking about in this section.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move approval of the environment policy, same languages that do not impact finances. That would be the.
Why don't we start with this one first, since we're on the article.
I think we're going to just try the sanitary districts to start off.
We're
going to see if we can figure out how to do this with this one, and then maybe we'll go to the rest of it. Mr. Kudelka wants to say something, I think, though, from GCA.
Mr. Chair and committee members, for the record, my name is Kirk Kudelka with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. There is one typo we'd like to ask the committee to change. On that same article, R3, it's on line 151.26 on the House and line 178.32. About two-thirds of the way through the sentence, it says resolutions of sanitary districts.
Start, do it again.
Oh, I'm sorry. R3 of that article, page R3.
Okay, go ahead.
And then on the top there, it's House line 151.26 and Senate line 178.32. Two-thirds of the way through the sentence, it says resolutions. That should be dissolutions of sanitary districts.
Oh,
it's a typo that we had put in originally when we drafted the bill and found later, and just wanted to highlight that while you're making corrections.
Fairly significant.
Makes more sense.
Some of us might like resolutions better than this.
Dissolution.
Can we just incorporate that then in the language, everybody here? Is that okay?
Yep.
So does anybody have any concerns on the House side with the Senate language on the sanitary districts that is different than the language that you have?
Mr. Kudelka has another question.
Mr. Kudelka?
Mr. Chair and committee members, in terms of the different language there, There was a reason the House has the difference. There was a request made by the agency on page R4 on the data from state agencies. Going through the Data Privacy and Civil Law Committee in the House, it was brought up that if we start putting in the statute various places that public information, which can be shared between agencies freely already, putting in the statute could create the precedent that unless it's in statute, state agencies couldn't share this. This is brought up by members of the Civil Law Committee, and at their request, we repealed that in the House Committee. We just didn't have the time to do it in the Senate Committee.
But we don't like the Senate language? Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chair and committee members, in that instance.
I heard about it.
See, this is good. Does the committee like the Senate language? Let's see here.
Mr. Kudelka, this is somewhat different because it's a chief administrative law judge asking, not other folks. Does that make a difference here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, not to our understanding. Originally, the language had it that any data could be shared. It was a very wide open section of statute. Members of the House Civil Law Committee wanted it narrowed down. We did to just public information because that's all that we need to share with the Office of Administrative Hearings. And at that point, it was pointed out to us by those same members, that same member, that there was concern that what we're doing is creating a precedent that'll that they're trying to keep consistent to the rest of statute.
Maybe the question is, since it's already public data, why can't the Chief Administrative Law Judge just get it anyway?
Mr. Chair and committee members, that's correct. That's why it can be repealed with no, that language isn't needed there.
Mr. Chair, I mean, just because it's public data doesn't mean it's readily available to them. The public data just means that it's that the public can have access to it. It doesn't mean that it's readily available. I mean, they are. You got to remember, they are not under the governor. I mean, they have their own. They have an appointed chief administrative law judge. I guess was appointed by the governor initially, but they are a slightly different branch of government than the rest of the agencies.
So do departments and agencies not promptly furnish requested information when someone asks for it? Is that what we're saying here? Mr. Kudelka, like if I asked you for public information, would you get it for me in a hurry?
Mr. Chair, committee members will always provide information you request.
Representative Falk.
Well, that's, I guess, kind of my question, too. I mean, unless readily available is defined, I mean, how do you actually go and characterize if something was made readily available versus, you know, not quite readily available versus... You know, it is kind of ambiguous in that sense.
That's what I'm thinking. Representative Poppy, did you have your hand up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering about just the shall promptly. Promptly, do we want to? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if promptly should be spelled out in a certain period of time or anything. If there's to add clarity to it, but.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. Okay, we're having a good discussion on this. This is good. I'm thinking that we maybe don't need that, but I don't know what you guys think. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the sanitary district language with the change of dissolution instead of resolution incorporated and minus the subdivision 9 data from state agencies component of. Which so we'd be moving the House language.
We'd be moving the. Actually, we're moving the Senate language has one other word that Mr. Knopf seems to think is important.
Mr. Chair, it's the other differences on page R10.
So,
Mr. Chair, I think the way Representative Hansen read it might be the best way to do it as far as how to. And basically on R3 would be delete on 178.32, delete resolutions and insert dissolutions, and then delete subdivision 9 with 180.13 to 180.17, and then otherwise you could take the Senate language as is. I mean, you can do it either way. That might be the simplest.
Okay. Did you understand your own motion?
Mr. Chair, yes.
That's okay. Then that's what we'll do. Does anybody else want to discuss that any further? Okay. Then on the Hansen motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion adopted. Okay. That was really good work, you guys.
There was a question that we had.
We just did 39 pages. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. I was going to say, while Mr. Fidelco was there.
Kirk, come on back. Kirk.
There was a question that Senate Counsel had about whether, on remediation, whether we needed to appropriate those dollars. And I was telling the Senate Counsel. And I thought the agency would want to comment on that, because that was one of those.
Go ahead and ask.
He's going, Pedro.
You know, Mr. Goodelka, did you hear what Representative Wagenius asked?
I did. Mr. Chair and committee members, Representative Wagenius, we are just finalizing, and I need to send out to you information on that provision. Under Minnesota Statute 116.155, Subdivision 6, it says a remediation fund shall also be supported by transfers, as may be authorized by the legislature from time to time from the environmental fund. This was put in 2003. Since then, in 2003, there was no accompanying rider language at all to carry out those transfers. 2005, 2007, just used language a commissioner may transfer language. That was rider language included in both of those chapters. 2009 is when certain dollar amounts were started to be put specifically in the rider language. At that time, they transferred a specific amount, which was very problematic to the agency because we had to hit that dollar right on the on a nose, so we couldn't manage the account if we needed more for a very big remediation project, or if we had less need, we couldn't bring that back to the agency to help in other areas. And then in 2011, it was a cap. It was shall transfer up to $42 million, and that's the language in the last bill. The agency just prefers that there is that freedom there so that it can manage the account depending on the need within the remediation fund. How that's handled, whether it's the blanket that was used early on in the history of this fund in 05 or 07, or no language in 03 would be the preference of the agency.
Well, Chair, Mr. Kudelka, if you look at 2003, there were a number of transfers made. They were kind of sorting out all of the accounts. In fact, I think the remediation fund, there were direct appropriations from it, even though the statutory language was in the bill. I think it was pretty clear that the legislature was moving money around to make the two funds work in 2003 when it was being set up this way. But since 2003, we've always had some transfer language. If you, the statute you read says that that transfers may be made by the legislature. It didn't say by the executive.
If I could comment.
Go ahead, Representative Gates.
Well, I think Senate Counsel brings up an excellent point you use the word freedom, that the agency shall have freedom, but with freedom comes an inability of the public to know what's happening to its dollars. And one of the issues about having the big environmental fund and the remediation fund is the public cannot see what is happening, cannot see the accomplishments the agency has made, because I'm not going to use the word slush fund, but somebody could do that.
Good word.
And it's better that, in my judgment, that we follow the Senate Counsel's lead on this and choose the correct dollar, and we could say that up to a certain amount could be changed. We would have that ability too, but I think Senate Counsel is right on this.
Is that because I said Senate Counsel is right?
Well, I'd have preferred the Senate was right, but since Senate
but you didn't say that, you did.
Yep, thank God we got him. And we weren't talking about a provision that we're going to act on, right? We're just discussing
It is in the Senate language and not in the House language. So that is it's something that has to be discussed. In that.
Mr. Chair, could I just add in here? You know, the first couple of biennia, the agency would tell us that they didn't really know how much, and we kept telling them, well, when you know how much, we should start putting a dollar amount in there, because, you know, basically what the environmental fund, you have to directly appropriate. I mean, there's a lot of money that goes into the environmental fund, as Representative McGinnis knows. And if they could transfer over whatever they want, and the remediation fund is a statutory appropriation, so if they can transfer over whatever they want, as Representative McGinnis mentioned, you wouldn't see that money flowing through. I mean, you'd get reports or whatever when they do their environment and remediation fund reports, but they could basically spend whatever they wanted to out of the environmental fund without any control of the legislature.
Okay.
Or any choices made by the legislature.
Yeah.
All right. So we just did the same. That wasn't the same, but it was pretty close to the same. And so I'm just wondering if any of these other sames have any changes between the House and the Senate that you know of, or if they're exactly the same, because then we might want to talk about Representative Hansen's motion to do all the sames that don't involve money. And do we have to go through them one by one to find out if there's a little bit of language difference or not? Or are we pretty
Chairman,
comfortable?
Chairman, I don't think so.
We're pretty comfortable with it. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I think the one, based on the Bowser testimony, putting in accomplishment in that where we both had the same, that was one.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, the same and similar lists that you have are only the policy articles. The riders we don't have in the same similar language here.
So this list here that says sames.
This would be only in the policy part of the articles.
And they should be exactly the same, right?
They should. If it says same, they should be exactly the same.
Even though the last one said same and it wasn't exactly the same?
Well, it said similar.
It was the same.
There is a little similar up above where it says annexation. Yes, he's correct on that. Okay. Does say same down below, though. Well, then, I'm willing to say let's do the sames
in policy
and just get them off the table. I think the similars we should probably go through just in case we want to change them a little bit. But so Representative Hansen moves the House language on the sames. I suppose if we find out they're not the same in the very near future, we can go back and address them.
And Mr. Chair, there are some things like the EQB transfer to the PCA, but both sides have that in. You know, the Senate has in just the base being transferred. You know, if you look at the same and similar, at the same items on here, if you look on page 4 of that document, you do have the EQB transfer to the PCA provisions that are the same. I mean, there is an effect. I mean, EQB will be in effect on our. There are some differences in the spreadsheet and in the appropriation articles, but this would just mean that you're agreeing or you're agreeing to the transfer. And both sides have that transfer.
Is this it here? Yeah, that's it there. Okay. So, there's and so this I'm looking at the. We can do the same on the, as far as the ag is concerned, too, right?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So we can do it all in one motion then.
But not the finance.
Not the finance and not the similars, just the same. Okay, and so that will get a bunch of this out of the way. So
I think that would get rid of the noxious weeds, wouldn't it?
There's a little bit of similar.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there are some similar provisions there.
Okay.
They were reworked on the Senate side a little bit.
All right, and then
I was hoping that was a pun, but it didn't work very well.
Okay, well, sometimes I'm slow.
Sometimes.
So then Representative McGinnis will move the same in both the ag and environment.
In the policy.
In policy only. And if there's any things that need to be discussed because we find out they're not the same later on, we'll come back and talk about them, okay? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted. I think we can go back and start on some similars then. And I suppose we should start from the beginning. Are we better off trying ag?
I just got something.
I think we'll find more controversy there. I think
all right. Let's go then to Article 1.
Those are different.
Article.
Different extensions.
Mr. Chair, do you want to go to Article 4?
Let's go to Article that, 4.
That's a better
Article
choice.
4. Article 4. And where's the first similar?
And the first one I see is on LaSalle Lake State Recreation Area exemption on page R10. And, Mr. Chair, the difference on, they got section 11 on the House side and section 12 on the Senate side, and the difference is on 79.33, the House uses overnight, and on 30.28, the Senate talks about campground. Is my understanding that the agency prefers the House language?
Oh, my God.
So we should take the Senate language in?
For parking. Your call.
But on our day here, you use parking and develop overnight.
Chair, would you like...
sit down and tell us the difference between overnight and campground. Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, members of the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. We do prefer the overnight language. There are a couple areas that are overnight but not campgrounds. So we would want, for example, a camper cabin. It wouldn't be a campground. So we would want a person staying overnight within the park to have a state park entrance permit. But this is something that we were able to change in the House. We just didn't have time to fix it in the Senate, sir.
Mr. Meyer, can we put in both words? Can we put in both words?
Mr. Chair, as long as both needs are accommodated, I don't see why not. So
what would be the developed campground overnight or day use area? R10.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think what you'd want to do is after campground on the Senate side, 30.28 after campground, insert comma, overnight, comma.
I don't know if I want it.
And does that get everything you're thinking about, Mr. Meyer, or does that...
Mr. Chairman, that would work, yes.
Senator Metzen moves that then on.
Start making motions, huh?
Any objection to that on the House side? So then Senator Metzen moves that we insert campground, or comma, overnight, comma, after campground, moves the... Section 12 of the Senate language with that amendment. I'm not doing something wrong. Okay. So Senator Metzen moves Section 12 as amended, or with that suggested amendment. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Mr. Chair, you can just go on to the next section. This is really a technical fix on both sides, but the Senate also went a little beyond on 31.4. Instead of, there is some concern that referring to people as disabled persons rather than persons with disabilities, and there was some sensitivity in the Senate committee on that, and so that was changed on the Senate side. Again, they basically do the same thing. It's just changing that terminology.
I would move that change.
So Representative Wagenius moves that section 13 of the Senate side. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair, members, if you go to the next page, page R12, the one difference here is that on the Senate side, on 32.1 refers to a fiscal year. If you read the current law, if you look at the House side, it says after each fiscal year, the commissioner shall certify, and then it says during that year. And so that year now is not defined. And so the Senate we put in a fiscal year just to be clear about what it was rather than referring to it as that year. I think it reads better on the Senate side because that wouldn't be a defined term anymore.
Nelson to move that one.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering about, it says a fiscal year, should it be each fiscal year? What you've deleted is after each fiscal year, but you're not necessarily inserting
That's right. That's good.
Same language?
Well, Mr. Chair Representative Hoppe, I'm not sure, because they're doing quarterly transfers and they're trying to make sure at the end of each fiscal year that they certify those costs. It could be each, or I don't think it really matters that much. Whether either way, I think it would be fine.
Mr. Meyer, do you have a preference here?
Mr. Chairman, no. We can make either. Doesn't matter. Both languages do the same thing.
All right. Then Representative Poppy moves Section 16 of the Senate language and deletes A and inserts each before the word fiscal on line 32.1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion adopted. Mr. Knopf.
And Mr. Chair, I think we need to move on to the next page of the table. And actually, there's all sames there. I think we get to page R35, transportation of wildlife by non-resident wildlife rehabilitators. And Mr. Chair, the House is carrying the language that was offered by the administration that was changed on the Senate side. The language is on top of page R36. We usually don't put in statute notwithstanding rules adopted under this section because the law overrides the rule. And also, you'll see later on in the bill that the rule is being changed, or they're being told to change the rule to match with the language in the statute. So the thought was that there's no need to have the notwithstanding rules adopted provision.
Concerns about the Senate language on that, anybody?
And Mr. Chair, this would become part of the statutes. And again, we usually don't say notwithstanding the rules adopted under, especially if we're having to change rules. So the rule then would not have that prohibition in anymore. And so you'd be saying notwithstanding what's not there anymore.
Okay. So then Representative Wagenius moves Section 61 of the Senate language. All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then, Mr. Chair, we can move on to page R4. Page 4 of the table. And I'm looking for, wastewater lab certification, page R46 and 47. And there's just it's a very technical difference between the two. Unless Ms. Taylor has any more to add than I do, we number a couple of clauses and the House doesn't. On 50.6 and 50.7 in the Senate, and 116.16 and 116.17 on the House. But as far as I know, they say exactly the same thing except for the numbering of the clauses, unless there's something that I'm missing.
Somebody's whispering. I wasn't listening to you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I prefer the numbered clauses just because I think it's always clearer.
But where are we?
Mr. Chair, it's 50.6 to 50.7 on the Senate side and 116.16 to 116.1 or 0.17 on the Senate side.
The difference is the one and the two?
Mr. Chair, that's right.
You guys mind ones and twos?
Move 62.
Mr. Chair and committee members, while we're on this section, there is one, not the differences between one and two, we're okay with either, but higher up in that first paragraph on line in the House 116.8 and 49.31 in the Senate, there is one suggestion we'd like to make. After elimination systems, add the word and or state disposal system. And then in the parentheses there, after NPDS and SDS. Currently, the NPDS is a state permit, a federal permit, and the SDS is a state permit. This would allow for labs to be certified under both and giving them more flexibility. It's something we've worked with the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities with and ran it by them, and they were fine with it.
I would incorporate that into my motion.
Okay. So then Representative Hansen moves Section 62 of the Senate with the why don't you say it again so then I can just put it in there. elimination systems and?
And or state disposal system.
Well, Mr. Chair, we wouldn't put and or, we would just say or. We don't have an exclusive or in the statutes. So it'd be after NPDES with the after NPDES, you would say or state disposal system, and then parentheses you'd put in SDS. So it'd be National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System or State Disposal System permit condition.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion adopted. Mr. Knopf.
And then, Mr. Chair, looking through here, I think we're at the end of page four, of the table. Going on to page, we have a similar on page R86 of the North Mississippi Regional Park.
86?
Mr. Chair, that's page R86. And Mr. Chair, it's in the only difference that I noted was in the effective date, where the House uses its effective the day after the governing body of the board, and the Senate just says the day after the board timely completes.
Greg.
And
your preference.
Greg.
Mr. Chair, there's also some additional differences in paragraph B. On the House side, you'll see on line 146.29, it's a construction of a natural filtration swimming pool and a building for park users, whereas on the Senate side, they have a natural lake pond and building for lake pond users.
Oh, boy. That is something we don't know the difference in. Who knows about this? Anybody out here know about this?
Say they can do both.
Yeah. Natural filtration swimming pool.
Here you go.
Jump in.
Natural lake.
Jump in.
Or
swimming
pool. Yeah. That original bill.
Both good. Lakes and swimming pools are both good.
I think this House language in this case may be the language we want to go with. I understand that the folks up there brought us that language. We originally had the Senate language. But we can wait for some testimony, too.
Unless you guys got
no.
Anybody got a...
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, what exactly is this for?
What area?
Boundaries of the North Mississippi Regional Park.
Is this where the island is that Senator Johnson is
working? That's not quite similar yet.
Oh.
Senator Metz had moved Section 108 of the House language. Any further discussion or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, on R87, we've got the rulemaking provision for the wildlife rehabilitator. And that's in the middle. It's Section 112 on the House and 88 on the Senate. And they both do exactly the same thing. It's just a little stylistic difference in the language. The House says with the changes to this, and it uses the 2012 statute. The Senate does not have that. I didn't think we referred usually to the year when we're doing this. And the House says contained in, conform with the changes. Again, it's very similar. But
DNR? DNR care?
DNR? Mr. Meyer, I think they say the same thing. It's just how they say it. Mm-hmm. Starting to learn what stylistic changes now mean.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just confirming. I believe either language would work. Basically the difference in the head note and a few stylistic changes. So we can live with either section.
We got more style.
Western, I think that's your motion, man.
Mr. Chair, I think with the head note and some of the other things, the House language looks fine the way it is.
Even though it has Minnesota statutes 2012 in it?
Well, it is, Mr. Chair. I mean, that if you look at the section number, it does refer to Minnesota statutes section or Minnesota statutes 2012. Although we don't normally include that, if you look at some of the other provisions in here where we do rulemaking, you won't see the same 2012 in there on the permit to mine than the House side and some of the other ones. So, you know, what you could do is do the House without the 2012.
Let's just leave it in there.
It's up to you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wagenius moves section 112 of the House. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Not anything else.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think, no, on the very last page, oh, no, we already got that. That's the sanitary district. So that is the last similar item on environment and natural resources. If you wanted to move to the ag portion, we could go over some similar items there.
Okay, let's try that, see if they don't.
I don't know if there's a lot of controversy in the similar items. There might be in some of the other ones. But if you look on page R7 to R11, there's a number of noxious weed provisions.
What should we be?
And
noxious weeds.
Mr. Chair, what you'll see is the bottom of page R7, those are the same. And if Mr. Sullivan notices something that I'd not seen, I appreciate him to step in. But if you look on the top of page R9,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative.
Maybe just move quicker than I thought, but I was just looking at Section 113 and Section 89, the rulemaking display of paddleboard license numbers. Aren't those the same? But I don't think the motion was actually.
We did sames already, so we must have taken them in already, I think.
I thought the motion was only Section 112, but if we intended to do Section 113 or Section 89 or combination, I think that may have been taken.
We may have done them on the same motion already.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if you look on the comparison table, you see that was listed as
the same.
So I have that one as going in.
I see.
And then if you go, Mr. Chair, if you go to the top of page R8, the couple of differences here, the paragraph A on the Senate side says that for the purposes of designation of noxious weeds, and that's the section reference. I fixed that up on the Senate side, because on the House side it says for the purpose of this section, and it really is for more than just the purpose of this section that we're defining these things. So I think it's right on the Senate side on that. But then the House also changed the on 29.20 or 20.29 and 21.1 on the House side. Somebody over there was watching their capitalization and their quotations, and I think that the House has it right on that part. I don't think we should be capitalizing those things. And then also the House does with the University of Minnesota Extension, they also changed some of those provisions under current law. If you look on R9, 22.2, and I think again the House got that right.
Except shouldn't the be capitalized on 20.29 and on 21.1?
Excuse me, 21 point, where are you now?
The, after the word, after the number one, shouldn't the on 20.29?
Actually, Mr. Chair, no. The House caught that. And we do not capitalize this beginning. It's funny because if you do something in Word in Microsoft Word or whatever, it tells you you're wrong because you're not capitalizing it. But for in statutes, we never capitalize before the beginning of clauses.
After numbers, we don't capitalize, but after letters, we capitalize.
Mr. Chair, because that's the start of a new sentence, and after letters, yes, because that's a paragraph. So, no, the House, I think the House, somebody caught that over in the House, and we didn't catch that on the Senate side.
Go to Denver.
So, Mr. And Mr. Chair, the other difference is on page R10, 22.28.
So the only difference is on those pages is the way we wrote it, the capitalization?
Yeah, and the reference to they updated a reference to University of Minnesota Extension on 22.2, which is, as I understand it, the proper reference now for the University of Minnesota Extension. I think they also caught that on that page. Again, it appears to, and then, but then on page R.
We want the Senate language on 22.2 and 22.3, and then we want the House language after that?
House language on sections 20, 21, 22, and 23. If you want to move that now, we can do that separately. Because
Chairman, I'll move that.
Okay, so did everybody understand the motion? Signified by Senator Metzen moves the Senate language under Section 5 on lines 22.2 and 20.3.
No, he's right.
On section, and then the Section 20 minus the lines 20.22 and 20.23, and all of Section 21, 22, and 23.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that'd be right.
Okay, Senator Wetz.
Mr. Chair, these are basically same provisions, aren't they?
They're same, but they were similar, and so we didn't get them in the same, so now we're getting them in some others.
Okay.
So, okay, Representative Poppy.
But we're doing the House language, right?
We're doing the House language, except for the top two lines.
Top two on the Senate side.
First two lines. We're taking the first two lines of Section 5 on the Senate side, and then all the rest on the House side. Okay? So all of the favors signify by saying aye.
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 And then, Mr. Chair, if you go over to pages R10 and R11, the first on the Senate side would be Section 9, House Section 24. You see on 22.28, it says for this purpose, and the purpose is actually spelled out on the Senate side. That was actually, I was working with Senator Sparks on his policy bill and thought it would be better to spell out rather than this purpose just refers to the previous sentence. I think the Senate side would be better for that section, for Section 9 on the Senate. Mr. Sullivan shaking his head, yes.
That is Section, but we want Section 9 of the Senate language.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, what you could do if you want to pick up the rest of the noxious weed Section 10 and 11, we've already adopted those. That's right. Those were adopted. In fact, yeah, those were adopted on the same list. So really it's just, it'd be then Section 9 on the Senate side.
Is ag here?
Is ag here? Can I ask her something?
Mr. Chair and Ms. Galtier, do you have a preference?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen, Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture, can you tell me exactly where you are?
We're in Article 2,
yep.
Page R10, at the top of the page.
Yep, that first paragraph, permits.
Yeah, so it's Section 9 on the Senate and Section 24.
I don't think the department would have a preference, Mr. Chairman. It looks like we could. They do essentially the same thing.
So Representative Hansen moves Section 9 of the Senate language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
So the motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, there are some similar pesticide provisions on R11 and 12. We've got bulk. I thought that was the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. Okay, so that one is the same. So that one's been a bulk pesticide.
The
waste pesticide reporting. I'm sorry, I had the wrong section. It's Section 28 on the Senate, or on the House, and Section 25 on the Senate. They're both doing the same thing. They're allowing counties kind of a 3.5 year window or whatever after the effective date of the act to not report. The same way that they've been reporting, and then also requiring a report by the commissioner. The Senate, because it was only a temporary provision, the Senate decided that it should be an uncodified provision and not amending the statute, so you have to go back in and delete it from the statutes. But I think the two sections effectively do the same thing between the effective. The House side has it. And applies the waste pesticides collected on or after that date, but you can see in 13.28 to 13.29, it says it applies after the effective date of this section, so it really gets to the same effective date of when it applies. The Senate just does it within the language rather than in the effective date. And the House talks about in the remainder of, and it would be whatever applies after the effective date of that section. Mr. Chair, I have a preference for the Senate side. I think that the way the Senate did it, the uncodified language with a couple of years and then the report makes more sense, but that's just me.
Hank.
Scott here.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Members, the department would prefer the Senate language. After the House bill passed, this is a provision that we worked on with the Association of Minnesota Counties. And after the House language passed, the counties came to us and we worked on it. So the language on the Senate side is the result of agreements and negotiations that we worked out subsequent to the passage of the House bill. So we would prefer the Senate language, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, I'll move Section 9 of the Senate side.
Section 25.
Mr. Chair, the one addition on 14.2, and this gets at, we should add, I think, after committees and divisions. I've been trying to do that throughout the session since the House has committees and the Senate has divisions. This would make it abundantly clear that it would be also to go to you.
And divisions.
So on 14.2, and it's just something I didn't notice going through the process and noticed afterwards. On 14.2, after committees, insert committees. So it would be legislative committees and divisions with jurisdiction over agriculture, finance, and policy.
What if we don't want them?
Well, Mr. Chair, that's up to you.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think perhaps another addition would be on line 13.29 after the commissioner to say of agriculture.
Mr. Chair, you could do that. I mean, it is notwithstanding a section that's governed by the Commissioner of Agriculture, so we didn't think it was completely necessary. But Mr. Chair, it would be just fine to add of agriculture after that.
Chairman, I move that agriculture and the division to my motion.
Okay, so Senator Metzen incorporates Commissioner of Agriculture and on
division.
Line 13.29 and on line 14.2 after committees and divisions, and moves section 25 of the Senate side. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all of the favors signify by saying aye.
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 Mr. Knopf.
And Mr. Chair, the next one is the section 32, but I thought that was part of the same. So we won't do section 32. Section 33 on the House side, pest site education and training. Again, I think the House made the proper changes to referring to University of Minnesota Extension that the Senate didn't pick up. And then on the only other change, though, I think on the – so I think you'd want the House language here, except – on, if you look on page R16 on 90.5, the Senate, consistent with the rest of this, removed the word conjunction and inserted consultation because we're increasing the number of other people that are involved. And if you look on both sides, on 28.10 on the House and 89.16 on the Senate, the word conjunction has changed to consultation because you're not now having just one party. You've got a number of parties. And so the Senate made that that change to be consistent with it. So I think if you took the House side and struck conjunction and inserted consultation, I think you'd have a good match.
I'll move it.
Move the good match.
Is that a good idea, though?
That was my intent when I drafted it, that it would be consultation rather than conjunction.
Oh, how did Sparks get it and you didn't? Okay, all right. Okay, so tell me your, because you said something about picking up the University of Minnesota better than the Senate does, and I didn't exactly.
Well, Mr. Chair, if you take the House language, then you pick that up, and that's the only other real difference in this section.
So, besides section 33, we should take the House language and delete conjunction on line 28.34 and insert consultation, correct?
Mr. Chair, that's exactly right.
Okay. Representative Hansen makes that motion. Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is adopted. Mr.
And then, Mr. Chair, a lot of the same provisions have been adopted here. We go to commercial animal waste technician, section 40 of the House and 9 of the Senate. And again, the House changed the current law to match better with the current title of University Extension. I would recommend that on the commercial animal waste applicator that you just take all of the House language.
Do we have any commercial animal waste technicians in the audience, or just out of curiosity?
Oh, in the room?
No, it's okay.
I'm doubtful you'd have one in the room, Mr. Chair, but I would recommend taking the House provisions on the commercial animal waste applicators.
Okay, I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Where are we?
That would be sections 40 and 41.
Page
R18.
Page R18 and R19, R20 and R21. I would recommend taking all, well, we've done some of them, but take basically you take all of the House commercial animal waste applicator language, sections 40 and 41.
Does anybody on the House side want the Senate language? Anybody on the Senate side mind taking the House language? So three sections, section 40, 41, and 42, is that what you said?
42 is already the same. So sections 40 and 41 on the House side.
Well, Senator West will move section 40 and 41 of the House language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion is adopted.
And, Mr. Chair, we've got the biofuel language after that because the organic advisory test, that's been adopted. The biofuel language, now, it's listed as similar, and a lot of the sections are similar. The one difference is the section, and I think it's probably later in the list, section 45 on the House and 3 on the Senate. So I don't think you want to deal with that right now. And so, unless you do want to deal with that right now. Mr. Chair, I think
the first part's the same, right?
Really what we want to do is go all the way probably to section 55, I think, on the House side. Well, that was the same. 56 on the House and 7 on the Senate. The only difference is the House says on 40.23, as such, biofuel includes, and the Senate says the term biofuel includes. I like the Senate better, but that's just me.
Okay, but on section 45 of the House, we have a whole paragraph here that's different than the
45.
I know, but I'm looking at section 45. Or is that just too different that we're not doing that right now? On page R23.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, that's why I said these are different items. They're not. They're somewhat similar, but the Senate has at least 25%, and we have only bio-based chemicals, and the House has bio-based formulated products and bio-based content. Okay. The Senate's carrying the original bill of Senator
Sparks. You're suggesting skipping that for now.
Yeah, that would be. That's right. I think that's going to be on your different list.
Okay, and then where did you go from there?
Because Mr. Chair, I went all the way to page R29, section 56 on the House, and section 7 on the Senate. And again, I just think that the Senate. I think that last sentence on 16.28, the term biofuel includes. And the Senate or the House has, as such, biofuel includes. They both do the same thing, but I think the terminology is better on the Senate side.
Representative Poppy then moves section 7 of the Senate language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted.
And Mr. Chair, we're both the same on the conventional biofuel. I don't know if the House wants to deal with section 9, even though it's a Senate only. This actually would prohibit other biofuels being added to gasoline, and so it was an addition on the Senate, a technical addition on the Senate side. I don't know if you want to deal with that now or later.
Can we get that explained a little bit better?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll explain. The bill, Senator Sparks' biofuels bill, it's allowing other biofuels than ethanol to get into the market, as you're probably familiar with going through the process. Somebody was reading through additional statutes in Chapter 3, 239, and figured out that basically this section would prohibit any other biofuels being mixed with gasoline. And so even though you're saying that they can be in as part of the mandate or part of the required use, they would be prohibited by this statute. This statute was just kind of making some technical changes to make sure that all biofuels could be included in gasoline.
Mr. Knopf?
Yeah.
Do we recall any history on that? And does that have some effect on... what was the purpose of that statute originally?
Was it
mostly to promote corn-based type biofuels? Or?
Mr. Chair, this is a little different statute than the promotion part. I think this was... I'm trying to remember the history behind it, it's not completely clear to me. One of the things that it does is it prohibited a number of other products that were that could be mixed with gasoline. And so basically what it said that you either had to have gasoline, the only oxygenate that was, it says, shall not blend the gasoline with any oxygenate other than denatured agriculturally derived ethanol. That's the current law. So if you read that... literally, it would mean that you couldn't use biobutanol or any of the other kind of advanced biofuels in mixing. And so this is this.
Let's hold this for tomorrow because we got to run and vote now. And it looks like
I can hold off. I was going to say that there may be some commerce things there that we just might need to get.
All right, let's take a closer look at it before we decide on it. Then, and then I'll pass the gavel to you, and we'll adjourn for today. Okay.
Thanks for us.
Good work, team. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you.